This past week, many of us watched the NFL draft. Anybody watched the NFL draft beside me? Oh, I got lots of hands. You know, names were called, dreams were realized, and lives were changed in a moment. Young men sat in anticipation, waiting to hear their names called. Some were expected because they were top prospects. Others were surprises. No one predicted that, you know. But when the name is called, everything changes. You know, some of them that weren't expected to be called, they went from unknown to chosen. You know, as I was looking at all that, I sort of got stirred up. You know, there's a greater draft than the NFL draft. It's not held in a stadium. It's not announced on television. But it was settled before time began. And in that draft, God called your name, my name. Not randomly. No one is overlooked. No one is an afterthought. Like about 3 years ago, the last guy that was drafted was called Mr. Irrelevant. He was an afterthought, but now he is a star player. You and I and everyone that will accept Jesus is chosen. And that's what I want to talk about today. Chosen, drafted by God for purpose. Now, number one, chosen before you were known. So let's go look at Ephesians 1, 4 and see what it has to say. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That's what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Before there was you, you were already chosen. Before you ever had a struggle, you were already chosen. Before you ever made a mistake, you were already chosen. See, there was a choice that was made, and God made that choice long before you were ever thought about. Look at that scripture. Before the foundation of the world. That's before any of us was ever thought of. That means our family lines began before we ever came into existence. Before you ever did anything right or wrong, God already said, I want you. You know, we're not chosen because we live right. We're not chosen because we earned it. We're chosen because God says, I want you. You know, there used to be a poster on the street corners in front of the recruiting offices for the Armed Forces of the United States, and said, and it had Uncle Sam with his finger pointing like this, said, I want you. Anybody ever seen that? You know, God chose us before we ever chose him. Now, those NFL teams, before the draft ever, long before the draft ever started, or ever was coming, the players were evaluated. They watched game film. They analyzed their performances. They studied their potential. And by the time draft night came, the decision was already made. The name being called is just a revelation of a decision that was already settled. And let me tell you something. God didn't scout you. He didn't look at your potential. His decision of you being chosen to be a part of the family of God happened before you ever lived or I ever lived. Because he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his son so we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, I know I put a couple of scriptures together there, but that's all right. You can do that. You know, some people need to stop wrestling with the thought of, well, why would God choose me? I'm just a nobody. But God doesn't choose you on who you are or what you can do. Some people say, well, my weaknesses disqualify me. And your failures didn't cancel out his decision. You were chosen on purpose. Yes. On purpose. So we need to walk in the confidence that God chose us and he wants us to walk with him and be a part of the family of God. Now, let's look at another thought. Chosen by grace and not performance. 2 Timothy 1:9. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time to show his grace through Jesus Christ. You know, God doesn't operate on a performance-based system. Now, some people think he does, and they're always trying to do this and trying to do that. And actually, they're trying to work their way into God's good graces, and that don't happen because he's already chose you. He's just looking for somebody to be faithful. Now, in the natural, when these men are chosen, it's based on their stats, their achievements, results that can be measured. But God's kingdom, it does not function on those kind of principles. God chooses by grace. Well, what does grace mean? That means you didn't deserve it. It's undeserved. It can't be earned. It's given. You cannot unqualify yourself. It's not, and let me put this, I said it wrong. It's unqualified favor. Man, that's what grace is. I got it all tangled up. And the first one never made a mistake, you can throw the first stone. I'm not worried. See, when they pick those players, in the beginning, those on the first three or four that they pick, they're the best there is. The quarterback that was picked, they said he's the best of all the other quarterbacks that were coming out. Many of them were picked because when it come up time for them to choose somebody, the player they really wanted had already been picked by somebody else. And so what do they do? Well, this is what I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, have been because I was in Dallas when they started, so I was there from the beginning. Some of these people are fair weather fans. I've been there from the start. And people say how bad it is now. Go back at the beginning when they first, the first year, and look how bad it was. But he had a saying, if the player that they really wanted is not available because somebody else already got them, then pick the best player, not because of position, but the best player that's on the list. You know, but that's not the way God operates. God doesn't pick you because you're the best that's left. He picks you because he wants you to be a part of the family of God and enjoying the benefits of being in the family, but then doing what is necessary because we are all called for a reason. Now, like I said a while ago, there's unexpected picks. Players that nobody ranked at all. Players that were overlooked. But because some general manager and a coach got together and says, I see something in that person. Let's get him. God saw something in you that nobody else can see. You know, we need to stop trying to perform for God and just be faithful to him. You don't have to earn his love. He already has given it to you. You don't have to earn his grace. He's already given it to you. You don't have to prove anything, but you just need to walk in the promises of God. See, many people, they live under the pressure. Oh, I'm just not down. I got to be better than this. I got to do better. No, quit letting the natural thoughts rule you and begin to realize that you can live under the promises and not under the pressure. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you're on a team and you're playing, and some of you, a lot of you have been there, there is pressure because you got a guy behind you that's trying to take your spot. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you better show up for practice, and you better show up with ready to go at 100%. But let me tell you something. You don't have to do that with God. God's already said you're mine. God's already said, I've chosen you, so quit striving and start living in the promises of God and in the grace of God that he's given you. You might say it like this, stop trying and start trusting. Now, let's look at something else here. Chosen with a purpose to fulfill. John 15:16. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. Now, I want you to notice here, he said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. That means he chose us long before we ever were around. I already quoted, for God so loved the world, he gave. You notice the wording here, chose you and appointed you. That means that your life has a divine direction. You're not just saved, you're sent. You know, when these teams draft players, until it gets down to the last part, they draft on the basis of what they need for that team to strengthen it. Sometimes they need a quarterback. Sometimes they need a defensive leader. Sometimes they want somebody to come in and be a leader and change the culture. And when that name is called, they're saying, you saw something for us. Now hear me clearly right now. God drafted you because you solved something in the earth. We need to ask, what does God want me to do? Because you need to discover what your assignment is. And don't get distracted because of what somebody else is doing or anything else. Don't get sidetracked. Don't live aimlessly. You know, when I was playing ball in high school, that's where I went. I never was concerned and got distracted by looking at what somebody, oh man, he's doing better than me. I concentrated on my skills. If I started looking at what he's doing and started to try, well, I got to outdo him, then I'm distracted. I need to keep my focus on what I'm supposed to do. You see, when those people are drafted, they're drafted for a reason. You see, as they drafted this, they said, this guy's an edge rusher. That means he's out here and he's a good one to rush in, and that's what they got him for, to rush in and get sack the quarterback. My high school basketball coach, Canterbury Bible Academy, told me, he said, Hagin, I don't care if you score a point. If you score points, that's just extra. I want defense and rebounds out of you. And I'm going to tell you what, when that ball goes in the air, you better get out of the way, because I'm going to knock you out of the way because I'm going to get that rebound. Back when I played, it was the most non-contact sport with contact there was. In fact, if you go look at some of those games from back in the 50s, the way they played the game, you'd get kicked out of the game today for flagrant foul. John Fenderson said, Hagin, you're playing the post in the middle. If they come in there for a lay-in, take their arm off. And he meant it too. In fact, he had a deal, said, you know, that you get five fouls, And he had wrote on the board in the locker room, if you didn't have four fouls, you didn't play hard enough. If you got five, you played stupid. He expected all five of us starters to finish the game with at least four fouls. I probably had a whole lot more than that, but they just didn't call them. You're chosen for some action. What is that action? That wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever you're working, whatever it is, you to show Christ to the world around you. That's your purpose. That's your calling. Now let's look at something else here. Chosen and trusted with responsibility. 1 Peter 4:10. Okay? 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Being chosen is just not a privilege, it's a responsibility. God didn't choose you so he could bless you, although he does want to bless you. He chose you to use you for the kingdom of God. Every believer carries something, a gift, a responsibility to show Christ to the world around you. Now, those first round picks have expectations. They look at that player and they say, okay, we trust you. You're with our future. Those higher picks have a greater responsibility. Let me tell you, God trusts all of us. No one is more valuable than anybody else. Now, on teams, many times they will say, well, this position is more valuable than this one and this one. But I don't see it that way, because if each position does not accomplish what they are supposed to do, the whole team falls apart. I don't care how great a pitcher you got, if the rest of the team can't field the ball, or when they come up to bat, hit the ball and score some runs, I don't care how good he is, you're not going to win the game. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, God sees us all valuable. He sees us that we have he has given us responsibility. As we live this Christian life, we were drafted and chosen for certain thing. One of them is that we will be faithful to what the Word of God tells us to do. And he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he just didn't tell that to preachers. You have that responsibility too. You were chosen for that reason too. Oh no, you may not stand behind a pulpit. You may never preach a message. But every day you are preaching a message with your life to those that are around you. You may never utter a word, but sometimes, and we know this saying, actions speak louder than words. And sometimes people are saying one thing out of their mouth, but their action is something else. Oh, I could dwell there for a little bit, but I think maybe we ought to just go on, okay? Let's look at another thing. You are chosen to stand out and not blend in. 1 Peter 2:9. But you were not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into the wondrous light. Chosen people are different. They are set apart. God didn't call us to fit in. He called us to represent him in this world. You know, when a player is drafted, he puts on a different jersey because he's on a different team now. He has a different identity. He is a representative of that particular franchise. He doesn't wear the old uniform anymore. He has a new identity. Before he was drafted, he had an identity of the college he is from. Now he has an identity of the professional team that he's a part of. You have been given a new identity. You're on a new team now. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Here he is saying, you have a new identity. Now, a lot of people look over this, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You, when you're born again, your spirit inside of you has changed. But you have to do something about taking off this and put it on the new, which is God. You take off the old, former conduct and put on the renewed man. You know, stop trying to blend in. You're never meant to blend in. You're meant to stand out and live differently and talk differently and think differently because you carry a different name now. Hello. You represent the kingdom of God. Before, you were representing the kingdom of the enemy, the devil himself. But now, you are a different person on a new team, so act like it. Now, let's look at one last thing here. Chosen to finish, not just start. Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Jesus returns. God doesn't make mistakes. He chooses and he commits. And when he starts, he finishes. He expects you to finish. Now, you see, some players, they start good, but then they begin to look at their accomplishments and all that's going on, and they lose their discipline in staying in great shape and practicing hard. They lose their focus, and their performance falls off. But the great ones, they endure. They finish. If you'll track the people that were drafted in this draft, the top 25 or so, and you'll find that many of them perform a year or so like they're supposed to, but then they start falling off. Anybody ever watched that? Seen that happen? God chose us for the full journey. And the full journey, according to Philippians 1:6, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. So there is no let up in you showing Christ to the world until Jesus comes. You see, don't quit when it gets too hard. Don't walk away when it's uncomfortable. Don't give up in the middle. According to this, it says that God's not done with you. He will continue his work until it's finally finished. But when is it finally finished? When he comes back. Or you leave and go there. See, on draft night, a name is called. A life had changed. Long before that moment, a decision had been made in the boardroom. And today, heaven is reminding you, your name has been called. You have a purpose. You are secure in God because you are chosen. Don't live beneath the expectations of that calling. Don't question it. Don't ignore it. Step into it and enjoy. You were chosen. You were drafted by God. And enjoy that life that he says that we're to have. Life and have it more abundantly. He chose you long before you chose him. Now, live that life. Heavenly Father, just tried to encourage these people today on the fact that you've chosen them, you've given them promises, and you have an expectation for them to represent you and the kingdom of God in this world. I thank you that we would all recognize that and understand that in Jesus' name. Perhaps you didn't know your name had been called. You didn't know you'd been chosen. And you would like to come and accept that. You see, when those names are called, those players have to accept that. Or you might know, I know what it is to be called, and yeah, I let down and I've lost my focus, but I need to rededicate my life and get back to where I'm supposed to be. Anybody on any one of those invitations, everybody stand, please. If that's you on any one of those invitations, I would ask you to step out in the aisle, walk down here, meet me right down here in the front as I want to pray with you, and And you won't leave here like you came. You'll have on a new jersey when you leave here. Come on down now. Anybody coming? Come on down now. I'm going to wait just a moment. Is there anybody going to come? Oh, there's somebody right down there. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Reach your hands out. Oh, here comes somebody else. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come? Come on, this is your chance. This is your time. Your name's being called. We got a new jersey for you. How many of you watch those guys? They put on, they had the jersey, holding the jersey, and then they put on the cap. All right, anybody else want to come? I got three books in my hand here called New Birth in Him. Tell you about the new birth, who you are in Christ, and my tongue's telling you about the Holy Spirit. If I said I'm going to give these to you and I held them out here like this, what do you got to do to get them? That's it. You got them. They're yours. Now everybody else is going to get those in a minute, okay? That's just a little exercise I do. I can give you a book, but I can't give you what you come for. You come from a spiritual thing. So raise one hand toward heaven. Heavenly, pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that have come. I thank you that every spiritual need is met in these lives tonight, today. Salvation, rededication. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands down. Look at me for just a moment. Turn and see Pastor Greg and Christy there. Would you go to a special place of prayer with them? Come on right now and go follow them. You be prayed with. Get those books that I talked about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. You might wonder where Miss Lynette is. She's doing good. But she has not been able to wash her hair and fix her hair in about 4 weeks now. And so she said, I just don't think it'd be good for me to go. And how many of you ladies understand what she said? So y'all got her support, right? Praise the Lord. Now she may be upset at me for saying that, but she will be. But you know, she's doing fine. Her rest is coming along good and healing good. But when you're not able to use it to wash your hair and fix your hair, it's a little difficult. Now, us guys, we probably wouldn't pay much attention to it, but although some people would, I guess. I don't know. All right, praise God. Thank you for being here today. Did you get anything out of that this morning? I know it's a little different, but I thought it was, I liked it. All right. Hey, if we got first-time guests, connection team, go find them and take them to get special gift. Staff, go to the doors. What do we say to those first-time guests? Church, welcome home. Come on and join us. On the screen is where all of us are going to be tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night right here, Hour of Power. Next Sunday, special Sunday, International Rhema Day. God bless you. See you tonight.